This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is coming from, like, if you are a boss and your subordinate knows more than you and can think bigger picture than you, so you feel like intimidated. So what better way to discredit your subordinate than sending her to a neuropsychiatrist to say that she's actually mad?
Wow. Whoa. That's a very strong response.
Yes, and initially I resisted because I said, why should I? Like, so, you know, why don't you send X, Y, Z? Because they're not performing and all that. And because I'm overperforming, therefore I'm crazy. Is it because I question everything that is in my institution that I am not normal and I'm crazy? So finally, I actually said, okay, fine. So if I go to this neuropsychiatrist and the neuropsychiatrist say, okay, you're mad. So then the boss said, well, maybe you can take a pill. So I said, okay. So I actually motioned, like, I took a pill. And I said, okay, so then I'm still the same.
Right.
And she said, yeah, well, what to do? I said, yes, exactly. What to do? It's like you don't know how to handle. And I'm not crazy. So it's more than one way of solving things. So we are at the standoff, you see.
It's Uma and Ezra on the Evening Edition. It's 5:09 p.m. And for our first story, we're going to take a look at a story about being normal.
It's perfectly normal.
Normal?
To you.
What do you know about normal? What does anyone in this family know about normal?
Now, wait a minute, young lady.
We act normal, Mom. I want to be normal. The only normal one is Jack-Jack, and he's not even toilet trained.
You know, that conversation sounds like something that I must have muttered in my teenage years or something.
That's who the Incredibles were channeling, yourself.
Right.
Yes.
So this story is about the discussion of normalcy. And there's a new study published in Trends in Cognitive Science, and this was last month, which debunks the myth of normalcy in people and animals. And what it tries to sort of explain is that, you know, in 3.5 billion years, of evolution on Earth, it's the range and change and variety in the creatures and habitats that really defines us, and not sort of these limiting ideas of normalcy.
Yeah, and of course it applies to humanity and psychiatric conditions as well, right?
Right.
What was interesting about the article, and I guess the way they phrased it, was that trying to define someone as being normal was actually a failure of imagination and opportunity.
Right.
Which I quite enjoyed, because obviously if you allow people to be defined in this wide spectrum of being, therefore they actually are empowered to exploit that sense of being, as opposed to saying, well, we do it to our kids all the time, right? Be normal. Don't be crazy.
Don't be weird.
Don't be weird, right?
Right.
People will judge you.
Yeah.
And yet that weirdness could lead to all kinds of amazing creative outputs.
Because the simplicity in having to define something as normal or as one behavior or condition, it's so dependent on context, right? Whether something is good or bad, whether it's appropriate or inappropriate. And especially in psychiatric conditions, it's all about, I guess, categorizing people in limiting linear ways.
Yes.
While, the world is so wide-ranging in that regard.
And also, normal is almost always defined in the positive, and abnormal is a negative word to begin with. So no matter what, if you're not normal, it doesn't mean you're extraordinary.
Yeah.
It means you're weird, strange, and odd. Right?
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk to a clinical psychologist to get their thoughts on this very, very shortly. Stay tuned to the Evening Edition on BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:13 p.m. Uma and Ezra here on the Evening Edition. Our first story takes a look at how neuroscientists from Yale have just found out that no one is actually normal, and that there are a wide range of fluctuating behaviors and tendencies that could be utilized to actually define what's extraordinary about us.
Yes, so it's taking a quantum approach, which is a multiphasic approach, as opposed to just ones and zeros, right? So saying it complicates life. It's not as simple.
It does.
It's not black and white, right?
Yeah.
But it's saying that You cannot just be defined as one or the other. You could be a wide range
of things.
You
could be a 1.8.
We're complicated.
You could be a 2.4. You don't know. Weighing in on this is clinical psychologist Yvonne Fu. Yvonne, thank you very much for joining us on the Evening Edition. So tell us, based on this article, is there truly no quote-unquote normal in human psychology? Should we just, erase the word from our vocabulary when it comes to describing human psychology?
Yeah, I think this question has been something that in the field of psychology or psychotherapy, something that's been long debated, what is normal, what is abnormal. So what we outsider consider as abnormal, in actual fact, may sometimes make a lot of sense to the person who's experiencing it. Because in extreme situations and distress, sometimes the brain can do wonder to cope and maybe even to protect itself. Some researchers, for example, have even posed questions about the functions of mental disorders, such as DID, dissociative identity disorder. It seems very abnormal to us because how a person could have multiple personality. But when you look at what the person is going through, I guess the questions that we want to ask is, in dealing with a context that's very, very distressing or seemingly insane, what sane ways would there be to deal with it? What doesn't make sense to us may very well make sense in the context and environment and situations that a person is going through.
So on the upside, would this remove the stigma from people who have been labeled or diagnosed, for example, with conditions like bipolar disorder or schizophrenia?
Well, yeah, I hope so, because how various names are usually given to people who suffer from mental illnesses. I think people need to recognize and realize that having mental illnesses does not make one crazy or dangerous or weak. I think sometimes people, in fact, try too hard to fit in and to be normal. And, we have a lot of shoots on ourselves. We shouldn't feel this way. We should, react this way and behave this way. And we become so harsh on ourselves. I think accepting that you and I are very, very different and there is really no one way to live, I think then we can allow ourselves to be kinder to each other and to ourselves as well.
Yvonne, does this make treatment of mental illnesses more difficult? Because for physical illnesses like, a fever, you could easily get a Panadol and it worked for most people. But then I guess this means that treatment for mental health issues has to be a lot more customized, a lot more personalized.
That's a very interesting thing you brought up about, fever and how to go about treatment. I think that we need to understand that we cannot really follow strictly the medical model when it comes to mental illnesses, because in the medical model, the main goal is to diagnose and to fix, and therefore it is very important to diagnose and to be very certain what kind of sickness you have in order to fix it. In mental illness and doing psychotherapy, yes, it might help to have certain diagnoses so we can know roughly what has been done before. Then we can maybe follow the path and know what to do. But in mental illness, the underlying those symptoms, the subjective reality of the person matters a lot. The pain and sufferings and stories that underlie those symptoms need to be heard, explored, and understood, which a lot of times are overlooked when we focus too much on fixing and reducing the symptoms. I think sometimes having a diagnosis makes us feel maybe a little more certain that we are working on something. But I think human mind is a lot more complicated than that, and it's very difficult to have a one-treatment-fits-all kind of model.
Yvonne, that's true. And thank you so much for breaking all of that down for us. You just heard from a clinical psychologist, Yvonne Fu, and her insights on being normal. And it is fascinating because I think for most of us, there is an inkling to wanting to be on the right side of normal, whatever that may be, at least as a concept. And it's something that you've been dealing with most of your life.
Well, also in society, I don't believe that when parents, instill this into their children, that it's done out of malice.
It's protection, it's security.
It's to make
right?
their life easy, right? It's like, just blend in, don't cause trouble.
That's right.
That kind of thing. And your life will be straightforward. Because if you're abnormal, then you may get bullied in school, you may get, people may make fun of you, and then the parents don't want you to have to go and suffer through that,
yeah.
right? Yeah. But of course, We're complex creatures.
We are indeed. If you have any ideas to what your definition of normal is, call us on TalkBack, 03-771-09000, WhatsApp us, 018-789-8899. Here's some music by Love and Spoonful.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.